Hi there, dear brothers and sisters. Since I cannot be there with Josh and Kayla with you this time, I would like to use these few moments on this presentation to thank you and show my appreciation for all that you've been doing all these years for us, for supporting, faithfully supporting Ashri, for praying for us, for showing encouragement through emails, social media, or phone calls, or even visits to Poland. Thank you so much for all of that. God is doing amazing things in Poland. He's saving people. He's building our church. We already have about 60 people. And when me and Josh moved here 8 years ago, it was just me and Josh, so not our family, mom and dad, Brent and Janice, and maybe 2 or 3 more people. And I remember praying, Lord, I have never seen you build a church. Me, personally, I have never seen that. Lord, please, I know you can do this, and I want to see all these chairs filled up. I want you to build this church. And I remember praying a verse that I was holding on to as my anchor, and that was Philippians 1:6, and I'm sure you know that verse, but it's a wonderful verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I was praying that verse, talking with the Lord and asking him, pleading him that he would build the church in God. And you know, 8 years later, now we have about, as I said, 60 people. We had to move a third time because the place we were renting was already too small for us. We're seeing families getting saved. We're seeing individuals getting saved. We're seeing children getting saved. The other day, our Mikołaj from Sunday school, he's 11 years old. He called on the name of Jesus to be his Savior. We see young people getting saved. We have a group of about 20, maybe even more young people, ranging from 14 to 20-something, that meet on a weekly basis to have their young people's meetings. They go to camps. They want to serve the Lord. They evangelize with us. And they're getting saved. You see 17-year-olds getting saved, 20-year-olds getting saved. God is doing amazing things. And I want to thank you again so much for all your support. Please do not stop. Please continue to pray for us. Continue to support us. And thank you again. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you.
That's in a nutshell what's going on in our church. I think I just broke this thing. Is it supposed to be like that? All right. So if anybody has any questions you want to ask later on, everything goes to. That's basically. There's some things we're missing. Some things that I didn't put on there. Like on the back, that back thing. There's a town called Wąbrzeżno that I didn't get to really put on the presentation, and that's what Dad is doing, and he might say a few things about that later. So I got about 30 minutes. Cool. I can make it happen. So yeah, that's what we're doing. Praise the Lord for the work. Definitely, I want to thank you all for that. That's your work too. You're part of that. If it wasn't for you, that wouldn't be on there. Those people, Martin, the guy who gave his, was the talking there, he's a huge blessing. Him and his wife, and Mikowai, that's his son. The 11-year-old that got saved, that's his son. So his wife, and now his son. All three got saved, and praise the Lord, they're serving the Lord and, just going strong. And, you know, things are happening. Brent said that there was two people who just came to church this last Sunday. Two visitors, and then he went for a Bible study, and there showed up, there were four ladies. So he had a Bible study with four ladies and was able to get the gospel to them, and I think he said they got saved. I'm not sure. Magda said that on Wednesday night he said that they're searching still, so I don't know what's going on with that, but we'll see. But things are happening. People are getting saved, and it's really encouraging, and our new place is bigger, and we can fill it up, double what we had before. So praise the Lord for that. If you would, open up your books, Bible, to Luke 8. The book of Luke 8. Again, if you have any questions about what you saw, some things what didn't make sense, or you want to ask more about it, then more than welcome to at the end of the message. Luke 8. We're going to look at two verses, actually. Looking at Luke 8:39. So open that up, and then we're going to look at Mark 5:15. So Luke 8:39 and Luke 5:15. We'll start in Luke. Luke 8:39. We'll read verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, return to thy own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now let's look at Mark. Mark 5. Mark 5:15. Is it 5:15? 5:19, excuse me, 5:19. It's the same story, but it just put a little bit different way. Verse 19 says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Very popular story, right? The demoniac of Gadara, right? We know him. We've read a lot about him. It's one of the most popular stories in the New Testament. I love preaching about it. It's just amazing the transformation that happens in this man's life. And that's exactly what we're looking for. We want to see transformation. We want to see something happening. And you can see it because it's very visible. He has a demon, and then next thing you know, Jesus heals him, and he's sitting and when listening to every word coming out of Jesus. He's just soaking it in. And that's what we want. We want to see that. But there was something about it that really, really caught my attention. And it's because I've been asked a question very often, how can I preach the gospel? How can I do it? How can I tell somebody the gospel? I'm not very eloquent, and I have a problem sometimes finding verses, or I don't have a good memory about numbers and places. I have a problem. I said, all right, I understand. Well, what I usually answer is I start with something simple, like your testimony. Amen. You know it. It's personal. You know it very well. You know what God did to you. You know how he changed you. So tell him that. Tell him what verse affected you. Tell him what, you know the verse. I'm pretty sure you remember the first verse that you ever heard that actually made sense finally. That finally you realize I need a savior. Right? There was something like that. So tell him your testimony. And that's exactly what this demoniac actually did. He was told, go back and tell what happened to you. Tell them what happened. You know my story. You know how I was. You know how, what was, look at me now. Because our testimony is a very powerful tool. And we need to use it. Just real quick, as a show of hands, how many have ever used your testimony as a tool to preach the gospel? Ever? All right. How many have done at least three times in their life? At least three times in your life. At least three times. All right. How many? At least 10 times. 10 times. How about so many that you can't even count them? That's what I want to see. That's what we want. And if you never raise, if you didn't raise your hand, maybe you're not saved. Think about it. Maybe you never used it and said it because you never really gotten saved. And I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe you're scared of speaking it. Or you're scared of... look, your testimony is very unique. It's individual. I was always worried about my testimony because I got saved when I was 6 years old. And my testimony does not very look very colorful being told to a person who, you know, has tattoos all over his place. He's a drunk, a drug addict, whatever. And I'm telling him, yeah, I got saved when I was 6 years old. And how are you going to reach me? How are you going to touch me? Well, I had to think about it. I always was worried about that, my testimony. I came to realize, you know, my testimony is my testimony. It's special. God touched me. And I can tell him what happened to me. I can tell him why I thought of these things. What thoughts came into my mind. And I remember those thoughts. I was a sinner going to hell, and I didn't want to go there. And I went up. I said, I want to get saved. I want to go to heaven and be with my Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do that. Now, I didn't have all the sins that this man may have or this demoniac may have had or maybe you have. But it's special. It's unique. It's individual. So if you're young and you got saved at a young age, don't let that stop you from telling your testimony. Tell people what happened to you. It's important to use that. It's important. And so to get into the quickly into our message, there are two things that I noticed that were quite unique that only is in the English Bible. I tried it in Polish, it didn't work. Looked at it in Spanish, it didn't work. So only in English actually has a unique way of putting these two stories together. I want to look at Luke again, please. Luke 8:39 says, "Return to thine own house and show how great things." First we have show. Then we go into Mark, and it says what? Tell. Show and tell. Now, I know a lot of you, or most of you, I never was in an American school system. I was homeschooled. I was in Mexico to fifth grade, and then I was homeschooled in Poland. So I would never had show and tell. I was a show and tell. It was more like here. I'm showing the paddle, and I'm telling you to go to your room. That was a show and tell. But you know, when show and tell, what do you do? It's an activity for young children in school in which each participant produces an object of unusual interest and tells something about it. Show and tell. Something simple. Something, you know, elementary. We know this. That's your testimony. Something that is what? That is unique. Unusual. Something that is only yours. Nobody else's. Nobody can tell your story any better. Now, maybe we can tell Brother Lindell's testimony better than he can. Like he said already. Possibly. We've heard it so many times. Like, no, you missed the detail there, Brother Lindell. But, you know, we know it better. It's ours because it's personal. And that's what we want. That's the gospel. The gospel is personal. God deals on each and every person on an individual level. It is not the same, like, you know, cookie cutter, like what Brother John was talking about. It's not a cookie cutter. You can't just say everybody experienced the same thing at the same time, so we kind of know when it's going to happen. No, we don't know. You just got to just go with it and keep preaching until it happens. Because everybody is different. And your testimony is different than mine. Maybe it has some similarities, but it's a different verse, it's a different situation, a different time, a different message, different thoughts. Everything is individual, it's personal. So he told this demoniac, return to thy own house and show how great things. Now, to go home, he told him, go to your family, your wife, children, mother, father, everybody around you, and show them, right? The testimony that he had was visible. It was visible. It wasn't something that he just was talking about and nobody could see it. His testimony was visible. Show it. Now we know it was visible because he did not have clothes on. He was a demoniac who was there in the graves cutting himself. You know, I'm pretty sure after a while he got dressed and he said, you see that? That's what I was. You know what? That's not who I am now. God changed me. He worked in my heart and he moved me. And now I don't do that anymore. I'm a changed man. That's what his testimony was about. It was visible. Show what God has done unto thee. Show him. Show what, live what you're, live your life. Don't just preach it. A lot of people like to preach and just say things, you know, just say generalities and say, well, you need to just invite the Lord into your heart. You need to just repent and turn. Well, show them. You show them. How did you do it? What did you do? What were the steps you took? Don't just speak it. Show them. And he was this man, and that went back and he preached the gospel through his conversation, how he walked. He showed them. 1 Peter 3:1. I think we can use this real quick in this passage, in this message. I'm in Peter. 1 Peter 3:1. This is about talking about wives who have unsaved husbands, and I think it can apply to much more than just that. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, again, I think that this can apply to more than just wives. I think this can apply to anybody who has an unbelieving family in the house, that you can, by your conversation, in other words, showing your testimony, can win them to the Lord. You don't always have to be preaching at them and harping on every little thing they do for them to know they're doing wrong. All you need to do is you act the right way. You do the right thing. You treat them the right way. You have the respect that they deserve. Just because they're your parents, for example. Yet, by doing that, you show them that Christ loved them. Because they will do everything, and we know these stories, people do all everything in their power to just to destroy, and they keep showing love. Keep showing love. Isn't that what God did? Isn't that exactly what God, Jesus did? He showed love after love, even though you kept using his name in vain, even though you hated him all your life, until that moment you realized, what a sinner I am. That's what happened, and that's exactly what we need to show. That was showing his testimony. And it's true for anybody who has unbelieving family, neighbors, anything around you. People are around you who need to be told. And sometimes the best way to do it is by showing them. Living it. They're tired of the hypocrisy. People are sick and tired of people saying one thing and doing completely different. That's why a lot of people in Poland who were Catholics are now atheists, because they're sick and tired of religion. A priest saying, standing up there and preaching one thing, and then on the weekdays, the Friday, Saturday, they see them out in the bars and having good old fun with everybody else. Well, yeah, that's not right. But what about you? What about me? How is our testimony? How are we showing people what God has done unto me, unto you? How are we showing? Are we showing? Or are we just telling and not saying what was actually happened? So we have the show. It's very important, and I was sharing this testimony, I can't remember with whom, I was thinking Brother Lindell, that I have a Magda and I have a testimony that after 14 years, we just finished 14 years of marriage, by the way, in June. Praise the Lord for that. She survived 14 with me. 14 years, and I know for you, some of you are much more than that. I understand, it's not much, but hey, for me, that's a lot. It went by fast, but that's pretty cool. Especially, I know a lot of young people are getting divorced every moment. It's not the best thing, but praise the Lord, I got a good wife. Praise the Lord for that. But what we have here, Magda and I were for 14 years trying and praying to the Lord. Let us have a moment to witness to her family. All her family, most of her family, her mom and dad proclaimed to be saved. Don't live the right life they should, but Okay. They said they got saved. That's between them and God now. I can't do anything about that. But the rest of her family are not. So for 14 years, we were going there, going to all their christenings, going to all their baptisms, going to all their Christmas things and Easter stuff and all that stuff. We didn't participate, but we were just there because it's time for the family just to be with them. Just not ostracize them, and that's a smart thing to do, by the way. If you're going to witness to your family, don't keep them at arm's length, and can't ostracize them and put them so far away that you're not there with them. Well, you need to be there. You need to be a testimony. That's what we did. We were praying, and sometimes there was the opportunity to say something, but nothing happened. Or we wouldn't say a single thing. And we prayed. And we prayed. And we were there, and we showed up. We made sure our kids were good testimonies. We made sure that we were good testimonies in front of them, that we respected each other, we respected them, that we didn't preach at them, we didn't harp on their things. We mentioned some things that fell flat, and usually it did. What did we say? All right, we'll just keep on going. We're not gonna stop there. All right. After 14 years, this last April, for the first time, at my brother-in-law's christening of his youngest son, my wife's uncle and aunt stopped us at the christening party and said, tell us about your religion. Tell us what is, because we see for 14 years we've been watching you. For 14 years, as long as you guys have been married, I remember the wedding shocked us. For 14 years we've been watching and you guys have been coming. And even her grandma said, I am so sorry that I did not come for your baptism. We were scared. We didn't know what to do. We were worried. We didn't know how to act about this whole situation. So we decided not to come. If we hurt your feelings, please forgive us. An apology like that? Never in my wildest dreams would I expect from her Catholic, very fanatical mother, grandma, to apologize to us that she did not come to church with us. She said, next time you have a baptism of one of your children, please tell us. We'll come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And, you know, we have an opportunity now. We have an open door. We have already stepped our foot in there. Why? Because we showed them for 14 years what it means to have a happy marriage, what it means to have good kids who are obedient, and believe me, brothers and sisters, those of you and parents, you have children, it is very important how your children are raised. It shows. The Bible talks about it. It's very important. People notice these things. You say you're a Christian, your children are backbiting, are arguing with you, and all these other, that's not good. That's not good. That's not a good testimony. So it's difficult, but you know what? It was worth it. All the effort. We showed them, and praise the Lord for that. And finally the day came when they opened the door and they started to ask us questions out of the blue. We went through everything in Catholicism. We went through the Ten Commandments. We went to confession. We just blasted everything. And they were like, I never knew these things. Really? Wow. Why didn't you tell us before? We tried. We did. You weren't listening. Like, oh, why not? I'm like, well, I don't know, but praise the Lord, you are now. Amen. Praise the Lord, you are now. And I want to just pray for Magda's family. Pray that we have some more open doors. And my wife's cousin is going through a very difficult time. Her husband left her with two kids. And she's also very open to the gospel. She came to church once with us, had a great opportunity to sit down and talk to her about the Bible. Please pray for Monica and the rest of her family and Magda, rest of her family too. But going back to this demoniac in Mark, now we have the show, and then we have something that goes on with Tell. In Mark 5:19, if we go back to our text, we have in Mark 5:19, it says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Okay, now tell them the same thing, not only show them. So it's important that they go, two things go together, right? You can't just show without actually telling, yeah? Eventually you're gonna have to tell. Eventually you're gonna have to open your mouth, Right? Eventually, like my wife's parent and family, they ask the question, are you ready to tell? Right? You have to be ready. You have to know the answers. You have to know the Bible verses. You have to know where to go. You have to know how to say it. What words to use. All these things are crucial. You just can't say, oh, you know, you've been so stupid all these years. Why haven't you been listening? I've been trying to tell you. Now, no, you can't say that. You have to be careful. Now, he says, tell them. You have to know how to tell them. Tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. Which you notice he says in Luke, he says, what great things God has done unto thee. And then he has in Mark, you have, Lord hath done for thee. Yeah, unto and for. And I think that's also a difference. Gives you, it gave a deeper meaning. Yeah, he did it for you. Yeah? He did it for you. He did it for me. Now tell them what he did for you. Tell them what things he did for you and me. And then he says, and at the end of that, Mark, he says, and hath compassion on thee. That's important. Now you can't show God's compassion on you. How can you show God's compassion? It's hard to put that in and hard to show that. Now the only way you can do it is by telling people. You have to tell them. You have to open your mouth and say, you know what God did for me? You know what grace is? Ask people that question. What is grace? People don't know, generally. People who know, even people who've been in church, you ask them a question, what is grace? Well, the grace of God, you know, we sing grace. We sing, you know, amazing grace. Yeah, well, what does it mean? Give me the definition. They don't know, especially in Poland. They can't come up with a definition. It's goodness undeserving. Grace. You got goodness undeserving. You got something good that you did not deserve. Now, how are you going to show that? You're going to show that by telling them about it. You know how I was? You know what happened to me? You know where I was? You know what I was thinking? You know what happened? Let me tell you the story. It's amazing. It's just incredible how God changed my life. I was sitting in the graves. I was cutting myself. People were scared of me. Nobody wanted to do anything with me. And they were completely terrified of just me walking up. And you know what? One day, someone walked up to me. He wasn't scared of me. He walked up to me. He came to me. He came to where I was. He stooped down to my level. He got me, he looked at me in the eyes and he said, I want to change you. I think that's what the demoniac actually went home to say. He told them what happened. He told them how it was. He had to tell them, not only show them, he had to tell them. You have to use your mouth to tell people how God hath had compassion on thee. You have to tell someone about it. You just can't speak to the wind. You have to go. He says, go home. Go to thy friends. Tell them. We have a people to tell. We do. We have an audience. If nothing else, you have a family who needs to hear it. He said, I don't know where to start. Start in your own home. It's the hardest thing to do, but start there. That's what Jesus told them to do, isn't it? Go home to thy friends. And then he goes and Mark and Luke, he says, go to thy own house. Well, praise the Lord, we have a place to go. We have a people to tell. There are people who need the gospel. And you know what? He didn't stop there, did he? If you look and go back to Luke, Luke 8, 39. We said, return to thy own house and show how great things that God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published. All right. So you would think he went home and he just did his duty. What did Jesus tell him to do? Go home to thy own house. That's it. He could say, well, I fulfilled the command. I went home to my own house. I told only my family. They didn't want to listen. So I'm done. Is that what he did? No. What did he do? And published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. That whole city was covered by his testimony, and I don't know how long it took, but you know what? He made sure everybody knew about it. He wanted more than just his own house. He said, I found Christ. I found him. You need to go to him. Look what he did to me.
He can do the same to you. You have a problem? It's okay. Look at my, was your problem bigger than mine? Man, I had demons out coming out of me like you wouldn't believe. It was crazy. It was insane. And I was insane. And guess what? He made me sane. He changed me, and now I have my thoughts. I can put words together, and I can tell you what Jesus did unto me. And he can do the same for you. He didn't stop in his own house. It's a good place to start. He went on. And I'm pretty sure he didn't stop there either. I'm pretty sure everywhere he went, every time he went on vacation, or every time he went shopping, or every time he went to another city, he was like, hey, I got more people to tell. I can't stop telling about him. And I can't believe what he did, and neither can people, but you know what? They heard. They heard the gospel. And that's just so important for us to remember that. Show and tell. Something simple. Just, it really blessed my heart when I was reading that, and I love that story. When I saw that, and there's something that I was, I was mentioning this to the New York group when they came last year or 2 years ago, can't remember exactly when it was. When they were there visiting us, I had this message for them, one of our Sunday morning devotions. Just use your testimony. Use that. The Word of God is a sword, right? The Word of God is a sword. And I think we could say your testimony is a little dagger. Your testimony has the Word of God in it, and I think you just can prick people's hearts. Just, you know what? I have something. It's maybe nothing big. It's nothing magnificent. Maybe your dagger is not very, very large. But you know what? It does damage. Because it's full of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and it gives and has an effect on people. Show and tell. That's all you need to do. Show and tell. Show what God has done unto thee and tell them how he's had mercy on you. Just tell them. They need to know, and then you don't tell them, they will not know. They're not going to come to that conclusion. They're not going to look at you and say, oh, I know what happened to him. He must have met Jesus. That's exactly what happened. No! They're going to say, oh, he's a fanatic. Oh, he fell off the deep end. I don't know what's wrong with him now. You think he was bad, now he's worse. Yeah? No! How? No, I'm not worse. I now have hope. Before I did it, now I do. I didn't have life, now I do. I was blind, now I see. You have the New Testament is full of testimonials. Full of them. Paul very often told this testimony. We have in John 9, the simple blind man's testimony. Simple testimony of a blind man who was not very smart. But he confounded those Pharisees with just one phrase. I don't know who he is. Only thing I know, I once was blind, now I see. You tell me how that happened. It's not complicated. It really is not. All you need to do is just tell people what happened to you. It's amazing how you will see, when you say it personally, how much more passion you give the gospel when you tell it your story. You're telling your story, your testimony. This is what happened to me. Let me tell you, it was amazing. My testimony is also, I think it's amazing. I was sitting probably right about third row somewhere in this area on the outside, sitting with my parents, 6 years old. I don't know who was preaching. For the life of me, I can't remember. I just remember he was preaching about hell. I remember, and it... And I've heard my parents talking about it, preaching about it in Mexico and everywhere we went. I heard it on the streets preaching. I was sitting there on the curb hearing the preaching in Mexico on the streets. And that moment, it was sudden like a flash of light. Something just like, bam, hit me. And the preacher said, if you are ready, if you want to get saved, come right up here. Come right up here. Pray to Jesus. He will save you. And me and my simple childlike faith, I stepped out. My mom was like, where are you going? Get back here. You know, I was like, he told me to go up. I want to go up. I'm not going to the bathroom. I want to go up. I want to go up. I want to pray. Oh, okay. Well, then go quick. Yeah, sure. No problem. Go up there fast. And Joe, go with him. You know, go make sure he does it right. And sure enough, he was there. And I prayed. and ask the Lord Jesus to save my soul. Hey, I know from that moment. Now, my testimony is quite interesting still because we went back to Mexico and I remember that feeling. Yeah, man, I got saved. Praise the Lord. I'm a believer. I'm a child of God. I love that feeling. So I was like, man, let me do it again. And seriously, I think I prayed 2 or 3 more times and I got on my knees. I did make sure. I want to make sure. I was so pressured in my mind. I want to make sure I did it right. So I told that dad, you know what I did? I did it again. I did, I think, 3 more times. He's like, we need to talk. Now I was like, uh-oh, what'd I do? So he sat down with me and he just asked me a simple question. Do you believe that God saves the moment you ask him to save you? I said, yes, sir. Did he save you that first time you prayed? Yes, sir. Do you really think you need the other prayers for that? No, sir. What do you think are you saved right now? Praise the Lord, I am. From that moment on, I've never looked back. From that moment on, I know I'm a believer. I know I'm a saved sinner going to heaven. From that moment, I have never doubted. I have never thought, second thought myself or anything else. I knew, and I know up to this point, and I know for the rest of my life, I will, and I am a true saved sinner. Praise the Lord for that. The faith of a simple child, 6 years old, it's even children can believe. Praise the Lord that children can believe. Parents, don't let your children make their own decision when they're 18, 19 years old and let them, don't neglect the duties you have as a parent to tell them the gospel at the youngest ages as possible. I was told the gospel way before I could even read. I was told how I can get saved. I knew verses before, by memory, before I could even read one word. And that affected me. The Bible teaching, the preaching of that preacher, I think it was a mission conference. I don't know who it was. Affected me. It touched my heart. You know why? The Word of God was already planted in my heart. I had already heard time and time again. Parents, don't neglect your duty to teach your children the Word of God from the youngest of ages. We want our children to not have as many troubles as we did, right? I hope that we want for our children the best. In other words, that they don't have to make the same mistakes we did. Or, thank God, I'm truly blessed. I tell you, I don't know why God chose this, but I'm glad He did, that I come from a family. 4 generations of true believing Christians. I praise God for that. It's not my glory, or I didn't do anything about it. You know, I didn't choose this life. God just put me here, and I praise God He did. I wouldn't want any other life, and I have a wonderful life, and I want the same thing for my children. I don't want it to stop. But we cannot stop. If you did not have that kind of testimony, if you did not have that kind of heritage, let me tell you something right now. Start it today. You can't say, well, I didn't have that, so I can't do the same thing as you. Well, that's true. But you can make sure your children have the same thing that my grandfather had for his children. Someone had to start it somewhere. Brother Lindo got saved when he was older. He started his heritage, and we see the fruit of that. It's somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. So you do it, or someone, your children will have to do it. Why don't you start yourself right now, today? And why don't you tell the gospel so that someone else can make that same decision today? Show and tell somebody else that they can get saved and they can have the same kind of heritage you did. Or maybe you didn't, but you can have it right now. Praise the Lord for that. Amen.